Sing unto the Lord there, brother. You feel like praising the Lord? Listen, don't let the devil rob you out of your blessing. The Bible says, lift up holy hands.
Woo!
Praise the Lord. You want to sit there? I mean, I heard a tale one time about an old farmer that froze on the pond, kept him awake, and he got mad, headed up to here, and he said, I'm draining that pond. He spent a fortune draining that pond, couldn't find that. There was only one frog on that pond. And he let that farmer know what was on there. Well, I'll say this morning, be like that one frog. Let your praises ring. Go ahead, brother. Well, sing something about him.
I'll do the lighthouse.
Oh, all right, that'll be wonderful.
It may not come out. It ain't been for the last few weeks, but
let's see.
There's a lighthouse,
I call it,
for the hills.
Woo! Glory to God.
The old world's lights.
Thank you, Lord.
Storms they say, oh, sins alive that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness.
Thank the Lord,
will safely lead me.
What about that, Mark?
It's the light that all my
faith
seems to shine.
Sit in darkness, saw a great light. There's John. He said, I'm not the light. I'm sent to bear witness of the light. He's the light that came in this world that lighteth every man. I'll tell you right now, thank God for the lighthouse. Hallelujah.
You know, it seems like every song I sing is something that's maybe not considered praise to some, but it's praise to me. But it's all about showing His help.
Bless you, brother.
It seems like it every song I get. If somebody just to tell people He's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen was accused, lonely and bewildered. No one on that day could stand by his side. He just moved to him,
yeah,
to the right hand of the Father. I've never said a prayer that he could not answer. I've never said a
prayer
he could not
answer.
When the weight of life
yeah.
so high, you can't stop them. He will. My life becomes a burden.
Yeah.
So I want to go. There's no place to hide. I just look up
yeah.
like old Stephen, the right hand of the Father, and he moves me over the tide.
That the world may take note that he's God. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm right now, for lack of better words, Buddy Pawing at the gate. But I'll give praise to the Lord anytime he wants the preeminence. And I say this, but a lot of churches do have church without letting him have the preeminence, without letting him do what he wants to do and agree with the Holy Spirit. But I'm trying my best this morning to be in subjection to the higher powers. And I want to be sensitive this morning to the Spirit of God. And if somebody does have something on your heart, I certainly want to give place to it.
I praise the Lord. I praise you. Thank you for
Calvary. God bless you. My tears running everywhere back here. Take a look back here.
Woo! I
thank
you for answering prayer.
And I thank you for watching the church. Bless
your heart,
Sister Molly. Bless your heart.
And he's coming back.
Amen.
I pray you call in this morning and I want my life
bless you.
No other way but to walk with you in
my hands. Amen.
I love you.
Them angels said this same Jesus that you see ascending up in the heavens coming back in like matter one day.
And Jim, I'm not here to please no one.
Bless you, Mom.
Please, God only,
because
he's the one I'm going to stand before.
Amen.
You might judge me, but that's
right.
But his is, and I will go into heaven and be with him. I
amen.
Holy name this morning.
Now, there was an obedient sister of the Lord right there. And we got another this morning. I certainly am not trying to pump the well. But if you've got something to say, by all means, I want to give you an opportunity. And if not, we'll be opening up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. This is a fairly lengthy message. I'll cut it in half. We'll just preach half of it. I'll cut it in half. We've had a good time. It's been good. The psalmist said, Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good, and He is good. Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 16 through 19, these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Help me, Lord. Feet that be swift in the running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. We'll stop our reading right there. I'll preach three of these points this morning, if the Lord be willing. If not, we may stay on one. But I do desire your prayers. Please go with me in the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Lord, You said men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We do pray, dear Father, this morning, and I do confess my inability, my unworthiness, and Lord, how at a loss I am without You. You said Yourself that without You we could do nothing in John chapter 15. And there are so many today that are truly doing nothing for the glory of God. They're doing things for their own glory. But I do desire this morning that I might do something for Your glory, for Your praise, Lord, to honor You and to exalt You and to extol You very highly for love's sake. And I do pray that You would today wash me and cleanse me from all my sin. Preach to me and through me Your words in Jesus' blessed name. We'll ask it. Amen. Amen. Good to have our visitors. Good to have our young people this morning. If you're here this morning, good to have you here this morning. The Bible says here there are six things that the Lord hates. How'd you get this message, Brother Eddie? Well, I work with a young lady. Her name is Amy. She's got two little girls. And I had two women that worked with me in there. One of them has since quit. Her name was Wendy, but Amy's still there. And Amy was telling me about her youngest daughter. And she said, Eddie, she's got a problem with lying. I can't get her to stop lying. And I said, Amy, you're to tell her that's one of the things that the Lord hates is lying. That's how this message came to be. When I spoke that to her, the Spirit of God rose up in me, and I'm sitting there working, and revelations have come to my mind, and I'm just sitting there thinking, this ain't a, what am I going to do with all of this? The Lord said, I'll tell you what to do. We'll take it Sunday morning, so that's why I'm here. A proud look. April the 15th, 1992. 1,635 people perished in a ship called the Titanic. It sank to the bottom of the ocean on its maiden voyage because some fool uttered out of his mouth that even God Himself could not sink this vessel. It never even made the first voyage, Molly. That's why the Bible said the power of life and death is in the tongue, and we need to be careful with words. Now that was very foolish. That provoked God to show Himself to be God, to show that He was able to bring this little toy boat that man had made, that in the eyes of man, Brother Anthony, I'm sure it was magnificent. And I have seen some things that men have made that have been magnificent. But I saw them also fall. I remember September the 11th, 2001, four commercial airliners were hijacked by 19 terrorists, by the way, for what it's worth, which we trained. You better be careful about trying to make peace with your enemies. You better be careful about the diplomatic way. You better be careful about giving place to the devil, because the Bible said the devil come but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. And I know our country is so far out of touch with God that we think that we can go without God, that somehow we can work problems out diplomatically. We'll bring dump truck loads of money over there to you. We'll take care of you. Good luck. Parents need to learn this lesson too. Your children need to be, they need to be taught. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, not depart. God bless you, Carolyn. See that hand go up. It says, a child left its own, bring its mother shame. It says, discipline thy son while there's still hope. Thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. I mean, God that made us, told us quite a bit about us, we just don't want to hear it. But our country has a mentality to think that they can operate without God, Gail. And they think somehow we can be friends with our enemies. Somehow we can buy our peace. Good luck. Oh, me. But listen real carefully here. 19 terrorists that we trained hijacked four commercial airliners. One struck the Pentagon. The Pentagon, I guess we'd call it Pentagon. That was just a wake-up call. Two went into the Twin Towers, and to our horror, and I do remember the day, I remember walking into the break room at R. Donnelly and Sons, and everybody go, and I jumped right in there with them, William. And I sit there, and to my horror, I saw men-made towers that I guess have been exalted back when we walked with God. Now, since we're not, God took the hedge down, made us vulnerable, and He did say He would take the hedge down. And Gail, I saw, to my horror, two burning buildings, and I saw them come down. 3,000 plus people lost their lives. But there was mercy, Brother Melvin. One of them was destined to the White House, and it went down in Pennsylvania. That told me it was God. You see, God always has mercy and judgment. That told me it was of the Lord. You know, you don't have to be that smart to figure these things out. But I'll tell you what, I don't care how big a tire bubble you make, God can bring it down. And God had got a little bit too big. I'm sorry, America got a little bit too big for God. And we thought we was above God. So we kind of brought our own destruction, our own demise. But I want you to know, when them two jet airlines with men armed with nothing but what do they call them, utility knives, or I use them at work. I don't know what the name of it is. They got a little slide-out razor blade. That's all they had. They used that thing right, and they got the upper hand and commandeered and took over these four commercial airliners, and they put two of them in the Twin Towers at New York. And they came down. They put one in the side of the Pentagon, drove it right in there in the Pentagon. We trained them. They didn't hit that exactly all that good. Maybe God had a little mercy right there, too. Kind of hit the ground before it got it, but it plowed all the way up there to it. Sister Gail. And I'll tell you what, buddy. America started thinking eternal thoughts. They said when that happened, that the roads got jammed with cars trying to get to church. Can you imagine that? I mean, here we are, 2001. We've become so ungodly.
Yeah.
We've been so full of pride. I mean, who could withstand? It's America. I mean, we brought the iron curtain down. Look at us. We put a man on the moon. All of a sudden, we brought down like other nations.
Yeah.
And we realize the Most High rules in the affairs of men. And those that walk in pride, He's able to obey. You will never get too big for God. The Titanic wasn't too big for God. Those Twin Towers weren't too big for God. And some fool said God Himself could not sink the Titanic. It launched in pride and it sunk to the bottom of the sea. The spaceship, the Challenger, exploded on takeoff. January the 28th, 1986, killing all seven on board. I do remember that. And we scratched our heads and wondered what's going on. It's kind of like the writing on the wall. It's kind of like when God starts dealing with a nation, that nation better acknowledge that it needs a Lord. Amen. You ain't seen nothing yet. But you look back, those things that you forgot, those things that made you tremble for just a minute, those things that caused you to think eternal thoughts for just a little while. The Bible says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Maybe Hillary Clinton might have thought about that before she fell and bumped her head. I don't know. Now listen, I'm not trying to be conclusive here, but I want you to know God's not no respecter of persons. And our government, I guess they think they can operate without God. They need to read their Bible because the Bible says men that rule over men must do it in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Said they must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. I left the first part out. When you got unjust men making the calls, when you got unjust men ruling, you end up with an ungodly nation like the one we're living in. There's still hope for America if it'll repent, if they could do a 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if they truly could. We could have another revival. But a proud look, that's the first thing. The Lord hates a proud look. The Bible says that before honor comes humility. I've worked in a factory and I found out, some of y'all probably have too, when they get a new hire and their brother Mavin, first thing they do is they want to poke fun at them and they want to make a fool out of them, and if they can take it, well, they'll just work him right in and say, he's one of us. Have y'all seen that? I mean, it's, you know, I'm dumb in a box of rocks, but when it's obvious to me, you know, I mean, it's pretty easy to see. But they get a new guy in. This is Bill. And they brought this guy, said, this guy's name Bill, and we started calling him Buffalo Bill. And, you know, he took it. Well, Buffalo Bill, boy, he just abounded. I mean, just jumped right up there because he could take a joke. But you let a guy come in, they say, this is Buffalo Bill, and he gets all mad, puffy. He's usually gone after a little while. They don't last long. It's funny. The Bible says, for honor comes humility, and we just can't get it. For some reason, you're not going to make a fool out of me. Well, you ain't going to go too far. You might as well. The Bible says, humble thyself. It ain't easy to, like the prodigal son, to say, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. It's not easy, but it's the right thing to do. He got put back in. They put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, put clothes on him, fed him. Man, it's not easy, but I'll tell you right now, it's the right thing to do. Pride. Good God. Anybody that's got a problem with pride, you really ought to listen to this. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, man. Proud. A proud look. We got more than a proud look, buddy. We've become proud as a peacock in this country. The second one, a lying tongue. The devil, the Bible said, is a liar and the father of it.
Amen.
St. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said, if I should say I know not my father, he said, I'll be a liar like unto you. John chapter 8, verse 55. Now let me, we got young people here this morning. Let me help our young people here this morning. And those of you that are so old that you don't really need this, you can just text while I'm talking here. But the Bible says that the first lie was told by Satan in heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, if you want to look, you can. Verse 13 through 14. And the devil said this, I will ascend unto heaven. That's a lie. He said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. That's a lie. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. That's a lie. I'll prove it in a minute. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Another lie. I will be like the Most High. By the way, now that I got your attention, his tail drew one third of the angels in heaven. You know how he done that, Molly?
He's kind of like a politician. Change, you know. Hey, it's going to be a change. Change you can believe in. You better be careful about change.
Amen.
Sometimes change ain't for the good.
Right.
The devil promised change in heaven. He's lying. He's a liar and the father of it.
Amen.
Some of his lies are recorded in the Bible. The first one right here, we got it word for word. You can look it up. Isaiah 14, verse 13. Verse 13 through 14. His tail drew one third of the angels of heaven, and they fell by believing a lie called change in heaven. Don't tell me words don't have no power. Here's why he lied. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. He didn't exalt himself. To the sides of the pit. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall to this earth. Well, here's what caused him to fall like lightning. He fell from heaven. But the first lie that the devil ever told was in heaven. The second lie that the devil ever told was in the Garden of Eden. Then in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 4, the devil, with that forked lying tongue, told Eve, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You say, Brother Eddie, they don't say anything about Satan. Well, let's take our Bible just a little bit deeper. Revelations chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So, put your Bible as a whole. When your Bible says the devil's a serpent, a dragon, a devil, just put it all together. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, that in Adam all die, and in Christ shall all be made alive. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. And if you don't get born again, you ain't going to make it. John chapter 3, verse 7. But you know, we've had men to say, yes, we can. Or maybe we ought to rather say, like the Bible says, if the Lord be willing, we'll do this or that. But you got polished politicians today to change. And we say, yeah. Yeah, I got change. And you got politicians today who say, yes, we can. Well, I'll tell you what supersedes that. The Bible. And the Bible said we ought to say, if the Lord be willing, we'll do this or that. I'm just trying to help you this morning so you won't be so gullible. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I'm not independent. I'm saved. Man, I'm not even a citizen of this country. I know I've got citizenship here. But I've got one above it. I pledge allegiance to heaven. I pledge allegiance to this country until heaven comes down. This is where I abide. Unless the Lord tells me to go to a third world country, I'll go over and get my head cut off, bragging on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Forget about those yes we cans. Lean more to if the Lord be willing, we'll do this or that. But listen, that serpent told that woman, you shall not surely die. And the Bible said in Adam, all die. A domino effect. How did that happen, Brother Eddie? Well, first of all, the devil found the weak place in the woman. You read your Bible and it does say that the woman's a lesser vessel. And the husband supposed to honor her. Not to be a dictator, but to show honor to her being a weaker vessel. The devil found a weak place, got in. She did eat. And the Bible said she gave to her husband and he did eat. And when he did eat, he became a partaker. That's why the Bible says, be not partakers.
Amen.
God bless you, Molly. God bless you. Right on time. When he did eat, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, he became a partaker of that sin. And by that, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, know this, that no lies are the truth. That's why Jesus said, take heed, therefore how you hear. If it don't line up with the Bible, my pastor said, preaching is kind of like eating watermelon. He said, eat what you can, spit the rest out. That's probably good, Gail, in every message. Paul talked about some preach Christ for envy and some preach Christ for strife. And Paul said, nevertheless, Christ is preached. He didn't have any jealousy or animosity towards these others that were false brethren. He said there's preaching him for strife. But he said at least Christ is getting preached. But I'll tell you what, in every message that God's ever gave a man, there ought to be something in there that you don't need a pitchfork to put in and pass it behind you. There ought to be something that you can say, Lord, I need that. Amen. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. And to this day and hour we're living in, you ought to have some discernment. One of the things the Lord said in the last day, He said, take heed that no man deceive you. But take heed how you hear. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. You better also take heed what you hear. Amen. I'll tell you what, buddy. We're in trouble as a nation. The third point is hands that shed innocent blood. In 1973, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of abortion in the case of Roe versus Wade and legalized the murder of over 53 million little babies. Now, you think God's going to applaud that? Let me fill in some blanks right here. Children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. He spoke to Jeremiah in his mother's womb. John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible has a lot to say about children. And we've sacrificed them to devils. We've become a little bit like the devil because we ain't got no problem with it. Now you tell me what in the world's wrong with us when we'll vote for someone that's for abortion. You tell me. I'm at a loss here. I don't have an answer. Tell me what in the world we're thinking when we'll vote for someone that says they're for abortion. That's just condoning murder. Well, in doing so, guess what? You become a partaker. In doing so, guess what? Like Pilate, bring me a bowl of water so I can wash my hands from the blood of this innocent man. By the way, if you don't know the story of Pilate, he went crazy. He went through the hills washing his hands in all the brooks and I can't get this blood off my hands. He turned into a literal lunatic. He went literally crazy, went through all the land trying to wash that innocent blood off of his hands. There are severe consequences. Manasseh, one of the kings of Israel, the Bible, I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 21, said that he shed innocent blood in Jerusalem very much, that he filled it from one end to the other. Now what he done, he lined up little babies and he slit their throats. And the blood literally run through the streets of Jerusalem. You know why he done it? He's mad at God. He thought he deserved a favor or something. He was mad at God, and the only way he knew how to get back to God was to slay all these little innocent babies. Boy, it took a big man to do that, didn't it, Gail? Line little babies up and slit their throat like you would an animal. If you want to know the truth, the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 24 that for that sin, God would not pardon. You want exact verses? Hold on just a minute. 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he filled Jerusalem from one end to the other with the blood of innocent children. 2 Kings chapter 24 verse 4 says, which the Lord would not pardon. And here we are. Boy, what a nation. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sins are reproached to any people but America. Oh man. You know, Jeremiah Wright, he might have been right when he said what he said about America. He might not have been wrong when he said, God blankety blank America. You know, he may have been more right than not. I thought about that. I thought, you know, here's a man cursing his country. He might have been right in doing it, William. I didn't care too much for the language he used. I didn't care too much for the spirit he spoke it in. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I can't say he wasn't right in what he said neither. You know, God bless America. Well, America needs to get right with God, and God, maybe God will bless it. But I'll tell you right now, I don't see God blessing America. I see God dismantling America. I see God bringing down. When you got a president, and I ain't picking on our president, but he said he's evolving how he feels about homosexuals. Something wrong. Man, there must be something in the water in Washington. By the way, they got 4 foot of snow. Oh, don't pay attention to that Hurricane Sandy hit dead center. Wall Street shut it down. I don't think it got power yet. I don't know. Don't put no emphasis on that. You know, put your head in the sand like an ostrich. I mean, it's just writing on the wall to some, but not all. Weather has been kind of strange in that area. I'm glad it wasn't above us, Brother Melvin. I'd rather be them than us. I hate to say it like that, but I don't know another way to say it. I'd rather him have 4 foot of snow than us. But I'll tell you one thing. We have become a partaker. And the Bible said, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate. And I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. But there's six things the Lord hates. I've just touched, and I do say touched. I didn't go very deep. I just touched on three of them. And we're guilty of all three. A proud look. We had a president one time. You know what he said, Monica? He said, I was politically correct when I made that statement. I'm not throwing off because your name's Monica, but he said, I was politically correct when I made that statement. Does that excuse a lie? They sold him out and brought him right back in. You wait and see. They're working on it right now. They've already got the platform already ready. The speech has probably already been written to have another Clinton in the White House. Well, by the way, when they left, they had to run them down. They stole all the furniture and all the jewelry. You know how it is, you let a thief in. And I don't know what you call a child abuser, but he's politically correct when he made that statement. But we're guilty of pride, lying tongues.
Right.
Man, we're teaching lies to these little children in school. Awful quiet in here. Sophie, it's really quiet in here. Hands that shed innocent blood.
Amen.
But like that adulterous woman, the Bible said, Molly, she wiped her mouth, said, I sin not. Oh, me. Gail, I'm sorry you came in on a service like this. It's kind of hard to preach a message like this in love.
Okay.
But I'll tell you right now, I'm glad to have you here with us this morning. And any of you that I've offended, I'll make this kind of apology to you. I'll make no apology for what I said. But I will say I will be sorry if I offended you because I did not want to offend you. Just trying. Paul said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. He said that to the church of Galatia. If you got a problem, your problem's probably not with me. Your problem's probably with the Lord. Best thing to do about it is just come up here and say, Lord, me and you need to talk. I don't necessarily agree with what that preacher said, but I can't deny everything he said. But as a nation, boy, America is sure in trouble. The Bible said in Job chapter 41, verse 34, talking about the devil, said he's the king of the children of pride. That's about where we're at. We've let one in. And the one we've let in, buddy, he's dismantling this great nation. And I still to this day believe God raised it up just to evangelize the world. Every single missionary proceeded from America.
Amen.
There's still some good in America. God's still using America. I don't know of any better than America, but we really fell from our steadfastness. We fell from the righteous nation that we was raised to be. And we become so worldly minded. I mean, It ain't gonna be. They're already making the currency. It ain't gonna be too long. Thanks to the UN, that we're gonna be brought in to all of the rest. And I guess God'll be done with America then. Then hopefully, pretty quick, I about had my fill. I'd just soon leave as to stay. But I will tell you this, I will make my exodus. Right now I'm walking with God, like Enoch. And the Bible said he was not because God took him. And I'm going to be a was not because God's going to take me going home. Paul said, I know in whom I believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I've got good, I'm in good hands. They're both nail scarred, but they're good hands. Jesus went on to say, my Father is greater than all. No man's ever plucked out of his hands. I'm in good hands. I got nail scarred hands over me, and on the outside of that, I got great big hands. On the outside of the nail scarred hands. Melvin Sisson brought that out on the radio one day, and I looked that up. I thought, man, is that true? Yeah, it is. It's in there. I got four hands holding me. I'm in good hands, Margaret. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the message. Lord, I thank you for giving it. I thank you for giving me the liberty that I've had this morning to preach. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the great number who are here this morning to hear your words. And Lord, I know nothing, but Lord, you know all things. And I do pray right now for this invitation that it be mighty through God. I pray, Father, for those that were here this morning that heard this message. I pray for those that will hear this message by way of the website on the internet. May they all prepare to meet God. May they all turn to you while they can. Because Lord, you're gracious. The Bible said your mercies are new every morning. It's of your mercies and your compassions we're not consumed. May we all make a step in a direction to meet you, to be ready at your coming. We'll thank you and praise you. And ask these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Go ahead there, Brother Melvin. You need to come this morning. Listen, by all means, come right now. Don't even think about it. Don't even slow down till you get here. I don't know how much time we've got. I can't promise you, you've got today. Why not? Everybody stand, please. Listen, these little ones have showed us time and time again how easy it is to step out. Come up here to this altar. Jesus said, a little child will lead them. We saw them step out, little tender hearts, little tender planes. Step out and kneel down here and just humble cry. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. God bless you, William. Lord, he's a perfect example right here of a man of God. Just walked all up there and never even slowed down until he got to the altar. Are you that kind of man? Are you man enough this morning to step out and just come on up here like William did? God bless you, William. You'll look at this man right here. You'll see here something you need. Just walk all the way down there. Lord, thank you, Father, this morning for Brother William. Lord, what a blessing he is to us and to you. Lord, I pray your mighty hand upon him. Your mighty blessing upon his home and upon all he has. Lord, what an example this precious brother is to us all. Lord, I pray others will join him here. I pray for the troubling of the water. I pray for the Holy Spirit to prick the hearts and hearts to meet right now like a jungle drum with fear and condemnation and conviction. Lord, may they come, I pray. Bless this brother. Amen. God bless you, William. Oh, that tells me there's hope. I see a man step out, come to the altar. There's hope. God bless you, Brother Melvin. I threatened one time Gail to bring some sticks of dynamite in here and light them for me if I get something to move. I may do it one day. But I do believe if God can't move you, I'd be wasting my time trying to move you. You might go that way instead of this way, and I'd rather have you here than out there. I love you this morning. I've done my best to plead with you as I preached this morning. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. It's been good to have you here. What you got, Sophia?
Praise the Lord. Did He bless me? People come back. People don't know what it is.
God bless you.
Go to church and have to stay at
home. Amen.
And telling Bobby's all this morning. Little children's happened to die. I was talking to the niece last night over Major County where I'm from. And said her son called her while she was talking. She said, "Hold on, baby. What do you want?" And he called her and he was back on the mountain. And he said they was having a birthday party for this little boy. And said he had about 2.5 years old. Said he had had to have one of his eyes taken out. Cancer, but said they said they got his own. And they put a glass eye in for him. And he was at a birthday party.
Yeah.
And said he was riding on one of these little battery cars round and round. They was going so fast he couldn't stop. And he run into a trampoline. He had just caught him right on her, broke his neck. He was only 2.5 years old.
In heaven.
Pray for his family.
He's in heaven. I regret hearing the news.
His mother went to work.
Amen.
And her sister, I think, was responsible for him.
That's all right.
She had took him to that birthday party and said she'd never get over.
There's mishaps like what Sophie just shared with us. The good thing about her story was that little one went straight to heaven. Give you scripture on that. Jesus said, except you become little children, you'll know why it's enter in into heaven. He said, I tell you that in heaven, their faces always behold the face of my Father in heaven. I believe it's right. But you see, until a child comes to age of accountability, what is that, Brother Eddie? That means he knows that he's sinned. The Bible said, well, there's no law of sin not imputed. Those 10 commandments back there hanging on the wall, Paul said, I've not known sin, but by the law said, thou shalt not covet. And that covers everything. But anyway, somebody said, don't say thou shalt not drink. Covet takes care of it. I remember coveting alcohol. Thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. I never did smoke, but I've seen people that coveted one, couldn't wait to get outside and puff on one. Covetous covers it all. But anyway, when a child leaves out of this world, they don't know that. They leave out innocent.
They're not. I said they better take a
warning. Yeah. They want to see that baby again. They better be. Because I'll tell you right now where that child is. There's a rocking chair in heaven. I do believe in the Lord up there. Yeah. Take some little children, Carolyn. He rocks them there. Yeah. God bless you. So.
Let his son die on the cross and shed his blood for me.
Amen. Well said.
And I've said it before.
Try it. Amen. God bless you, Sophie. Maybe someone else got something on your heart. Sorry to be so long. I couldn't figure out no way around it.
Well, I know America is not what she ought to be, but I don't think that we should have destruction locked down on us for a few people. And I tell you what, if people don't like America, then they ought to leave.
They're not going to leave. They're determined to corrupt it. Y'all may not know this, but just in lieu of what Charlotte just said, just so you'll know, so you won't be so deceived. Nancy Pelosi, she's going to be the next House figure. They done got it in the works. By the way, for what it's worth, she's a member of Communist in America. So is Henry Reed. Just so you'll know. Just so you won't be so surprised, they're dismantling your country. They're determined to destroy your country.
Well,
Nancy Pelosi.
God is stronger than these people, and so what you
we're condescending.
What you need to do is pray for these
people. Oh, I do. You know I do. Yeah, I do that. But also, I got to warn
you. You've got to have faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible tells me not to be a dumb dog that won't bark. I am supposed to warn people and inform people and tell. This America, you can do whatever you want to. I don't care. You can vote the devil in White House if you want to. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'd rather have a God-fearing, humble man in the White House that would at least say we need to pray. We need to pray. We need the Lord's help. I wish we had a humble man. We won't, but I wish we did.
Well, I didn't vote for him, but I still...
I ain't got no problem with him. You're right. We need to pray for him. Yeah.
You know, we're a bunch of people
may have cold
people.
We got a warm heart.
Sorry, but
the
blower bin's cold. We're going to have to do something about this one another. Maybe we'll get through the rest of this. But
I don't have to worry about it much longer.
He comes through these registers.
Now,
if they don't work too good, we're going to do something.
Well, it'd be good to have a ceiling fan in there or something. Might stir it up a little bit, spread it around or something. Are we done? Anybody else got anything on your heart? Good to have everybody here this morning.
Good to have us little kids here with us. Yeah. Appreciate her coming. I hope she enjoyed the service. And if you don't get her, get your good
there.
I tell you what, she's
I like the sound of that.
Best I know of. She's up here
to Sandra Springs on the left here. Brother Melvin invited you to come, didn't he? I'm glad he did. I'm glad you came.
I enjoyed the service.
Good to have you with us, Gail. Sure enough.
Thank you.
Come back, bring a busload with you. We'll make accommodation. We'll tear the wall up. Have to. We'll go back another 3 or 4 feet. Bring him with you. Bring him back. We'll be preaching a little bit nicer tonight. I hate to say that because I can't really make that promise, but I believe we'll be preaching a little bit nicer tonight. But thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for praying for me. And let's all stand, please. And Brother Anthony, if you would, please dismiss us in prayer.
Thank you.